am working here since October 2010, so it's nearly 2 years now.
We wanted to obviously have parents, young people, staff, and everybody contributing to something really, which I believe, very beautiful.
They've been training for the last 8 weeks. They're doing very well, actually. Like, you know, they're a bit apprehensive because some of them have never been on the water before, but they're really enjoying it, like, and it's a great opportunity for them, like, you know.
My name is Ian McCarthy. I found training hard at times when the wind wasn't there because we couldn't sail. We broke a couple of masts at the same time.
Welcome to Mehel Mara at the heart of Cork Harbour, a five-part documentary series that looks at one particular community group in Cork City that focuses on the preservation of tradition, culture and maritime heritage, along with the Irish language. Mehel Mara at the heart of Cork Harbour documents how this small community group has mushroomed and evolved into a multifaceted community and boat-building organisation that involves itself in various projects ranging from on Rossmore, the Ocean to City race, surveying boats in the west of Ireland, and keeping the ancient art of Cork building alive and well in Cork City. Programme 1 of Mehel Mara at the heart of Cork Harbour will look at the concept of Mehel Mara and how it was born and indeed how it progressed and gained favour and momentum within the community of Cork City. Programme 2 will take a closer look at the different courses, schemes and opportunities available to those who are seeking to upskill and or retrain due to reasons such as mental health illness, long-term unemployment or disability. Programme 3 looks at one particular youth project, which is called Bedoruct, and takes an in-depth view at what this project achieves in relation to youths and adults that participate on the Bantry Bay longboat called the Fionn Barra. Programme 4 will examine the Ocean to City race and illustrate just how such a huge event can be run essentially on volunteers alone. Programme 5 examines the cultural wing of Mehel Mara and how they have become eminent in topics such as preservation of all things maritime in relation to accessibility to the River Lee in Cork City. My name is Cathy O'Hare, and to start off the programme today, I'll be speaking to Padraig O'Dineen, who had the original vision for Mehel Mara. Welcome to the programme. Padraig, you are the founder of Mehel Mara, and it was founded in 1992. How did the concept evolve?
I suppose the beginning of it was getting an Air Vogue West Kerry Corrock. Myself and Seamus, a friend of mine, we got one, commissioned one, from who we thought was the best builder back there in West Kerry. And we rowed and fished with that, took it to festival in France, in Brittany, and we realised, it took a trip to Brittany to realise how unique and important this boat is, really. The other background was the interest in Gaeling. And so it was a kind of a combination of that that started the interest first day. Eventually, over the years, people kept asking me, can you build one yourself, or did you build this yourself? And I'd have to say no. And eventually it wore me down to the point where I thought, it's a bit of woodwork, I'm going to give it a go. So that's how I started building the first Air Vogue, a copy of the original that I got from West Kerry, from Cork Arena. So I got plenty of help then from back there in how to do that. Noel Cummins called to me every fortnight when I'd get stuck. And eventually I got about three quarters of the way to completion, and I got an offer to travel to California to build one over there in front of thousands of people at a thing called Renaissance Fair. So I headed over there. I was over there for a month. So the first Air Vogue that I completed was launched with Native American people in near Los Angeles. And we rode out in the territory of the Great White Shark, which kind of focused my attention. So that was a really big event for me. And I met a man over there, James Connolly's grandson, Brian O'Hearing. Kyle O'Gay, he died a year ago, Benacht Eilish. And he told me, there is no context out here for what you're doing. You should be doing this at home and waking people up to the significance of our maritime heritage and the significance of the Gaelic side of it and the connection with the language.
Okay. And when was that then?
That was 93, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah. 92, sorry. That was 92. Yeah.
Okay.
And in 93, then, I'd have started nosing around. I was on a community employment programme with Gael Tuck at the time. And I started nosing around, asking my supervisor, how do you set up a community employment project? I went to FOSS and I was very well received with the idea of building five working, big working there vogues in Cork for a club that we would form.
Okay. And so it started off very small at the beginning and gradually built up to what it is now.
Well, in a way, it started off with a tremendous blast of energy. Kian O'Shea was the first person to sign up. And we had a number of people then with very good woodworking skills. And even in the first project, we took some youngsters from temporary release on from prison. And we thought there was nothing we couldn't do. We got a Heritage Council grant. And we really got tremendous energy from that initial success. And we got sponsorship and it was very, very positive. And we showcased the boats at Glendower Classic Boat Regatta. And Mary Robinson was the first person, she was the president at the time in 1994, and she was the first person to use Mehelmara as the title of the organisation, which was in its infancy then, as a description of who built these boats.
Okay, so what does Mehelmara mean in Gaelic?
Well, Mehel would be a way of doing work that is too much for an individual or for an individual's family. So other families or groups of people join with this person to do this specific task. It might be to build a house. It might be to harvest crops. That's the kind of origin of it. So it's a kind of it's kind of cooperative is part of the image of it. And it doesn't, it involves, in its original form, it involved a debt. Once you got everybody to help you, then you go and you help them for what they, so it retains some individuality, but allows for collective dealing with big tasks, I suppose. So it's, today, I suppose, it just means that kind of a community ethos, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so you're a Gaelgor and a boatsman, shall we say. So was combining these two passions very important in the progression of the project?
In the initial energy to set it up, it was very important. And we had a newsletter early on in the time for a while and we'd have articles of Gaelling. It's still part of the ethos. But it depends. If there are people there who can connect with the language on the project, well, then it has a lot of heart. If there aren't, it's always in the background and it's available somewhere or other. So it's to connect it to handwork was the idea, and then to have it available. And it had an effect definitely on people hearing the language being spoken in a work situation as a completely natural thing. Most people associated with school.
Mm-hmm.
So that really influenced a lot of people to go and improve it or acquire it. That just hearing it, these guys are speaking this, like this is what they speak when they get up in the morning and eat their porridge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that was good enough, I think, for me to be able to do that.
Absolutely. And what is the ethos behind Mehelmara then, apart from the language element?
Well, one aspect would be, to me, to build boats and to row out on the water are kind of immense pleasures and sources of achievement. And to some extent, that can be exclusive because of the costs of it and all of that. So it's more looking back on it that this idea came about. But it's good to have a portion of what we do, what Mehelmara does, that aims at opening that door to the people that are most least likely to have the opportunity and who are most likely to benefit the most from it by just having that opportunity of being out with a bunch of people in a boat and just that feeling of, if we're going to get back to shore, we're going to have to pull together. And it can work. That's a fact. Yeah.
So community participation and social and personal development would be kind of key attributes to the project. How is that achieved from within?
Well, I think the connection between the people working is vital, an understanding of how that connection is what people sense. So if people have a basis of getting on well together and respecting each other and respecting diversity, if you like, then let's say Ocean to City, like a name in the background of that when we were thinking about it first day, was just bringing diverse groups of people from England, from abroad, all sharing this passion and spending time together in the race, after the race. That's a kind of, I suppose, being a bit idealistic, is a kind of a peace objective in a way, because we are all fundamentally the same, and it's really good to have a big gap in a way that can be bridged. You know, the gap, say, from parts of where people grow up in this city with other parts, there are enormous gaps in culture in many different ways. People don't have to change, but it's good if everyone can be brought together, share something that everybody enjoys. And ultimately, I think that is a valid ambition. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how it happens then is through an awful lot of hard work and a lot of hair pulling and whatever that gets those events out there and done.
Mm-hmm. And so can you tell us a bit about the, I suppose, the evolution of the Curragh, or the lack of evolution of the Curragh, maybe,
to
put it better?
You're being very insulting. It is possibly, for lightness and for manoeuvrability and for ability to meet the sea, and this is recognised all over the world as being one of the most sophisticated craft that can be powered by muscle power that mm-hmm. exists. And for in terms of getting out through waves from ashore and handling seas, it is very well recognised as being a phenomenally safe boat, if people know how to use it. And some of the motivation was to get this out there, that people see it's not nostalgia, it's respect for something that evolved to a level of perfection that really cannot be bettered within mm-hmm. the constraints of using natural materials and being powered by muscle. So that's definitely part of the mission of starting out, was to get these, in a way, taken out of the kind of exclusive zone they were in, like that you had to be Gaelic speaking, you had to be from the West, but in some way to retain that connection as well, because the respect for what people did and the ability that they had and the stamina that they had and the safety that they had in their thinking and their reading of the weather is kind of a model for any other activity you do. And they were staunch in their positivity, I suppose, in going out there to fish, to carry stuff, to, do stuff with people, yeah.
So what would the modern day usage of the Curragh be in Ireland today, we'll say?
Well, it's very much leisure craft. And it is, in the last couple of years, quite big projects have grown up around the coast. Clare really was the first. Connemara has been there, rooted in the tradition. Donegal more recently, in Mayo as well. So where these boats come from, now people are rebuilding them in the traditional style. The old people are still there, so the reservoir of knowledge is there. The hope would be that the culture and the mindset of that community will be transmitted in some way through the physical objects to some extent as well. And the connection with the older people allows for a transmission of more than the technical. And these are all brilliant characters and idiosyncratic and good fun to be around and critical and all of that stuff. But they are passing on their experience of their lives to people again. So there are regattas now all the way from Donegal right down around Kerry, where there's a revival in the traditional boat as well.
Are the regattas the Cork Racing?
Cork Racing, yeah. Okay. Cork Racing regattas, yeah. Mm. And some race the traditional type boat as well still, and some have more racing type boats which wouldn't be as seaworthy, but it's all part of the tradition.
Padraig, thank you very much for talking to me. We'll be speaking to Padraig again a little later in the programme, but now I'd like to welcome Dennis Barrett, who volunteers on the Board of Management within Mehel Mara. Welcome to the programme, Dennis. Can you just talk us through the CSP scheme, please?
Sure. CSP stands for Community Services Programme, and that is operated by Mehel Mara under PUBL, and it's all funded by the Department of Social Protection. So the idea behind it is that where an organisation has a business idea which wouldn't be commercially viable but would have a huge benefit, where people could work and produce things for sale, that it's worth supporting it and bridging the gap between the that particular business idea having to make a profit. So in this case, the workshop builds boats, repairs boats, and builds and sells crafts. None of them would be probably commercially viable in their own right, but it supports the employment of a manager and for a full-time and part-time team to do all of that. And while they generate an income, it's more important, I suppose, the personal benefit and the benefit to the community and to society of having those skills maintained and having all those people working on those projects.
Who is that course aimed at?
When Mehel Mara saw the CSP programme being offered, it saw it as a fantastic opportunity for people that were finished on community employment after 2 years or slightly more in some cases, but needed to finish under the FOSS scheme, that many of the, it's mostly men, many of the lads wouldn't be yet ready to go on to other forms of employment and yet have developed their skills while they've been on the community employment scheme. So as a stepping stone between community employment and more sustainable employment, the CSP programme offers a couple of years of good part-time work, building boats and doing the crafts and using the skills that they've developed and creating products that Mehel Mara can offer and services that Mehel Mara can offer to the public.
It's very much, again, it's about social inclusion, which seems to be a running theme throughout all the projects within Mehel Mara.
Absolutely. There's a mixed team of workers working with the manager, and all along we've been particularly interested in recruiting through our partner organisations who deal with people who have been in prison or who are in recovery or who work with people with disabilities. So as part of a mixed team who work on those projects, we've recruited on that basis, and the team works really well and it fits in really well with the FOSS community employment scheme as well. So it's a good fit for the organisation.
So would the difference between the community employment scheme and the CSP scheme, would that just be down to funders, or is the work fundamentally different?
No, the work is very similar, and from the very start it was our intention that the experience for a person coming into Mehel Mara should be the same whether you're on a community employment or on the CSP scheme. The important thing really is that it's a stepping stone after community employment towards maybe more a sustainable form of employment or possibly education.
Where do you sell the crafts then that are produced?
A lot of the boats that are either boat builds or boat repairs, those customers come to us. They might have an idea or maybe a labour of love from the past that needs a bit of tender love and care to get it back in the water. The crafts are sold throughout the year, really. At the Ocean to City race, there's a stall, at craft fairs, and at Christmas there's always a big demand for traditional crafts, be it some of the fantastic wood products that you can use on the family table, or some of the bigger projects like bookshelves or model boats. They're always in demand. They're fantastic examples of skill, and I suppose because the programme supports this industry, they're at prices that are affordable. If you were to try and cost them on the basis of the amount of hours work, they'd be out of the reach of most of us. So it's a good outlet for those skills, really.
Dennis Barrett, thank you very much. And now we're going to listen to a clip from Philip McCarthy, who has spent some time working in Mehul Mara a number of years ago. Philip, you've spent some time in Mehul Mara learning how to build boats. How did you find the place?
Being honest, I found it a very helpful place. You know, the coordinators in there were very good, like Seamus, and, you know, they really helped you an awful lot. They really explained stuff to you. And I think it really helped me an awful lot in there while I was in there. I think working with my mind and stuff like that, my hands, was a big help for me, you know.
Okay. And you had some difficulties when you were younger. How do you feel that being in Mehul Mara helped you overcome those difficulties?
Well, being honest, when I was in Mehul Mara, I suppose I had difficulties, and I would have had a drug addiction. I would have been caught up in drugs and stuff like that. And I think in there, they really understand you. You know, Catherine Cummins, she was very good to me. She really, you know, looked after me. You know, I used to suffer from depression at the time, and I'd say, I'm not feeling too good today. She said, you'll be okay. But yeah, they really understand the addiction in there, basically, and they helped me an awful lot.
How long were you in Mehul Mara, Philip?
I'd say I was in there about 6 or 7 months. At the time, I was fighting a gambling addiction, and I had to leave my place in Mehul Mara to go in Fellowship House. So I think it was about 6-7 months.
Okay, and how did you find the whole experience working in there?
It was brilliant. It was brilliant, you know, to be working in there, to build a boat, basically, from scratch, and then bring it down to the river and get into it, like, you know, and you're wondering, is this going to hold you? Like, is this, you know, I made this with another few lads, can we trust this? Like, you know, but no, it was brilliant, you know, to build a boat from scratch, and they show you how to build it from day one and all the different things and towering it and stuff like that. It was brilliant.
How did Mehul Mara help you become the person you are today, do you think?
I think it gave me confidence. It built up my confidence an awful lot. It helped me in a way that they told me that addiction was a disease. You know, I used to blame myself an awful lot for being caught up with the wrong people and taking drugs, you know. And I think they helped me an awful lot for my own self-esteem, you know. And I was equal in there, if you can understand me. I was, you know, I wasn't different to anyone in there, you know, and people respected you in there, you know, they really respect you in there.
So what are you doing today with yourself?
At the moment, I'm working on a big project, a big feature film. I think that was always part of my life. I used to do acting when I was a child, and I always wanted to be a director behind the camera, and I'm finishing a big project that's going on. It's gone on nearly 8 years. It took me 6 years to write the script. And I think 2 years were in progress of basically filming it, because it's a no-budget movie, and we're getting bits and pieces of few bob here and there from different councils, you know, but it's a low-budget movie, and it's been made out of nothing, basically. And I think the Cork people are after helping an awful lot while we were filming, you know, in different areas. Now they give you coffee, sandwiches, tea. Now John Grace is there, and Cork gave us chips and really looked after us. A lot of people looked after us. So that's what I'm working on, a project called The Vein Within.
And how many are involved in working on that then?
I'd say altogether there's about, between the actors and the crew, I'd say you're talking about 25 people, and no one's being paid, you know.
Okay.
They're doing it because I think what it is that they're doing it for their passion, and they're good at their work, and the actors are good, outstanding actors, and they really give it their all.
And when can we get to see this?
I'm hoping October we'll have a premiere in Cork. I'm hoping to get on to the Triskell Arts Centre. They have a big screen in there, and I'm hoping that they'll, you know, do a turn for me, you know, basically, and say, you know, we'll do it to, you know, for the Cork people, because it's a Cork movie. It's based on addiction out of a young person that was naive and grew up, and he's not with us today. It's based on a true story, a lad's true story. He was from Dublin. It was a lad I met through my own addiction while I used to go to conventions and stuff like that, and I said, this man has an amazing story, like, you know. So I used to always take notes, and but he's not with us today, so it's based on him, and it's based on another mate that I lost there recently. It's going to be dead in memory of them, like. If anyone's interested in the movie and they want to follow up on it, we have a Facebook page, The Vein Within Movie. They've been selected to go to LA, and the more likes we have, we'll really push it for LA, you know.
Okay, that's
thank
great.
You.
Thanks a million, Philip.
Thanks.
And that was Philip McCarthy, just one of the successful stories coming out of Mehel Mara. And now it's back to Padraig O'Donnell. Padraig, talk us through some of the main courses or programmes that are on offer in Mehel Mara.
We have community employment. That's run by FAS. It's aimed at people that are unemployed for a year or more. I think people are pretty familiar with what's involved in that. Basically, a person comes into a working boatyard. That's if they're working with their hands, basically. And there's kind of an assessment made of their skill with in woodwork or whatever, and there's training then in woodwork, and they'd be taking part in building a boat, basically. That's the kind of... and the normal things that go with community employment, there'd be an assessment of their training needs, and basically it gives people who want to be occupied, who want to be active, an opportunity to do it and to be directed and guided in what they're doing. And so that would be, that applies all over, I suppose. Bádóireacht is a project for young people, building boats and rowing boats. Some of the funding for that comes from the VEC, and that is a drugs prevention project. Again, just the experience of working with your hands. There are young people who don't fit normal education
mainstream models,
and sometimes you can crack them, if you like, and find the thing that activates them by giving them an opportunity to do something with their hands that has a product at the end of it. So that's quite effective with a proportion of people that go through it, and it can be very satisfying. Back to Education Initiative is a Department of Education, and again that concentrates on early school leavers and equipping them with any qualification that takes them a step from where they are. It can be quite minimal, or it can be up along the way a bit, but that's to take them a step towards, if it's literacy, if it's whatever it is.
So what age group is that aimed
towards?
Well,
that's open to all age groups.
Okay.
Actually, once the criteria there is education level now, so particularly the lower reaches of any qualification. Yeah.
Okay. And then CSP?
CSP is... similar to CE, the CSP project is focused on disability, or recovery is kind of the, you know, they're the kind of focus of a proportion of the people who are funded through CSP. Again, most people like that are coming into a boatyard and there's work to be done. There isn't a distinction made within the boatyard. If you're working in the boatyard, you're working in the boatyard.
Mm-hmm.
And how it's funded is not necessarily a big factor for the individual.
Okay. And so how do you target the youths that you're looking for to do these courses?
We have an ongoing connection with Liberty Street, HSE, the social work side. And they would send us or bring youngsters to us who are homeless and who would have very high needs, really. And it would, to some extent, be a last resort of, we're flexible in dealing with them. Seamus works with them. Basically, they're doing woodwork training, and the ideal there would be to get them to turn up and to function and try and tap into their their ability to work with their hands. Mm-hmm. And so the other programmes mostly would come through Ógra Corcaí. So they'd be short term, say 2 hours a week or something of that order, where we do all different groups would come in for 2 hours doing rowing or boat building. The other programmes then really would be through normal advertising. Vacancies for CE would be advertised if we have places, and people would apply and give in a CV.
Okay. And how long do the courses last then if somebody starts?
Well, the people on BTEI say the youngsters would be allowed a lot of flexibility. They could continue year after year if they're making progress and if their needs, as agreed with their social workers, merit it, or if that looks right, yeah. CE is normally a year. The Bádh Uorach project, the VEC-funded project, would have people that had come in as maybe 13, 12, and would stay involved in the project as kind of youth leaders then after it, still within Ógra's. As they went over 18, they would still, and they might progress on to Fionn Barra sailing and rowing. So there's no limit really to that if they're kind of moving along and it's benefiting them.
Pórig gurv míle maith agat. And now we're going to listen to some other experiences of people working within Meitheal Mara.
Hi, I'm Dave Nolan.
Hi Dave, how did you first get involved with Meitheal Mara?
How are you, Cathy? When I was a young fella, I was always into rowing and sailing and canoeing, and I was kind of around the water all the time when I was a kid. I served my time in Dublin Port, which was on the water as well, and since then I've always been involved in boats. I've been involved with the Jeannie Johnson, I've been involved with the Dunbrody tall ship in New Ross as well, and I kind of was working away from the sea and away from boats for a long time, and I kind of got the urge to go back getting involved with something to do with the water, but not in a large way. So I decided to go back rowing, so I went looking for a row in Cork, and I found the Fionn Barra, which is the Bantry longboat, which belongs beside the Clarion in Cork. And after going down and pestering them for weeks and weeks, they finally brought me out for a row. So, and through that, I got very much involved with the Fionn Barra. And as you know, that belongs to Meitheal Mara, or it's part of Meitheal Mara in some way. And when a job came up in Meitheal Mara, I was asked if I was interested in it, and I was, because I've always worked on boats, but I've never worked in a boatyard. I worked in the maintenance and building the timber boats. Everything I ever did before was welding or mechanical work. And it's just I was interested in building boats and Corrocks. That's how I get involved.
How long have you been with Meitheal Mara?
I think it's nearly 3 years now.
Are you on the CSP scheme or the CE scheme?
To be honest, I don't know. I'm just there. I don't ask the politics of the thing. I'm just there.
And what kind of skills have you learnt?
I've learned an awful lot of carpentry since I started there. Like, my background is in mechanics. So I served my time as a fitter turner. So big heavy engines, pumps and things is my background. So I've learned a lot of carpentry work since I started there. And my carpentry before I started there was very basic. But I've seriously learned an awful lot of carpentry and boat building and whatever else is in Meitheal Mara.
Okay, and Meitheal Mara has such a diverse range of people working there. Have you any views on that?
It's fantastic. You'd never get bored in there, you know. There's always something going on between people. It's always good. Like, the mix of people is fantastic. You get some really unusual people with funny backgrounds that you would never work with in, I'm nearly going to say, the real life. But no, it's good. I enjoy it. It can be difficult at times trying to work with people, especially you have people there who've never worked in a proper job before. I don't know. Especially when you come from a background like me where I've worked all my life. And you're working with people who haven't worked, and can be a bit awkward at times, but it's enjoyable, it's good.
Do you like what you're doing there?
Oh yeah, I'm not there for the money, definitely. And I wouldn't have stayed for 3 years if I didn't. No, I really enjoy it, it's great. It's good fun.
What do you hope to achieve in the future?
That's a big question. I don't know, to be honest. The lottery would be good. That would be a start. But
do you think it will help you to find a job if you're looking to break into the labour force in the future?
Well, the skills that I've learnt there already have already got me an awful lot of work. Like, I mean, I've been fitting kitchens for people through the work that I've learnt there. I've got work on boats, bits and pieces like that, and especially working on my own house, or building a house. I don't know, like, I'd definitely after picking up another branch of skills now, get a job, work for myself probably is more what my future plans are going to be. Like, I'm kind of working for myself anyway outside of Metal Murder, and I'm getting really busy with that, so I'd say that's more what my future will be, is working for myself. Yeah, I don't like working for other people. Well, Metal Murder is easy to work with.
Thanks very much, Dave.
No problem, Cathy. Anytime.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
Can you tell me how you first got involved in Metal Murder?
I started off as a volunteer. I was volunteering for a couple of months, and then I was offered a place in the CE scheme.
How long have you been working for?
3 years now.
3 years.
Yeah.
Do you like this type of work?
Love it.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a carpenter 25 years, but this is a lot more interesting, you know? And stuff you can learn. Like, I never rode a boat before I worked here, you know?
What do you find interesting about the work?
Everything, really. You know, from making oars and making different parts of the boat, you know, everything, really.
And do you get to go rowing often, then?
Yeah, we went smaller, and it was great. Even though we couldn't get the rhythms as much as we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it was great. I love it.
Do you feel it's given you more skills as opposed to being a carpenter?
Yeah, definitely more skills. Like, I started training young people and different groups. You know, I started basically training them in woodwork, you know, basic mm-hmm. woodwork, which I hadn't done before I started in Metal Murder.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm doing that 3 years, and I'm a lot more confident than I used to be, you know.
And you said you're working down in Middleton in the men's shed there, is it?
Yeah, I'm the coordinator and treasurer of Middleton's men's shed.
And what does that involve?
It's a non-profit organisation, community-based, and it's basically there for men of all ages, disadvantaged groups, you know, people who need a place to go, basically. And we're up and running now about 9 weeks. And we've grown membership every week, and there's a lot of interest in Middleton, and we hope to develop it further, you know, make it bigger.
That's actually a good place, because I think Middleton has a pretty high level of suicide.
Yeah, it has, shockingly
mm-hmm.
high. So our centre, if I get my way, will be a lot bigger, and we'll be running programmes full time, but at the moment we're only part time.
Mm-hmm.
And funding is our next area where we're going to tackle. Currently I'm doing grants for it, searching out grants and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting on a couple of them, see if we get them. But you know, it's all good, like, because there's a lot of interest in Middleton in us, you know.
Mm-hmm. So you're essentially linking in the skills here from Metal Murder and bringing it back out into the community again.
Oh yeah, yeah. And like I say, expanding it all the time, you know.
Mm-hmm. No? Okay, that's great. Thanks very much, Tom.
Okay, you're welcome.
You've been listening to Programme 1 of Metal Murder at the heart of Cork Harbour. In this programme, I spoke with Padraig O'Donnell and also some of the past and current workers within the Metal Murder group about what it's like to work there. In Programme 2, we'll have a closer look at the different opportunities that are available within Metal Murder.
It's not just building the boats, it's also been all about using them and getting access to the river.
I'd be underwater if I'm not training people on bailing boat, or, you know, fixing corks, or, you know, doing things in the water, which I love, you know.
So tune in for Programme 2 of Metal Murder at the heart of Cork Harbour. I'd like to thank both the contributors and the listeners for tuning in to the programme. This programme was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland.